Burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around did blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches down his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who walked with me. He's the master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll, he can calm life's troubled sea, as he did in days of old. And as upon life's sea you sail, why don't you trust in him who's never failed? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches down his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all he'd say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. He's the master of the sea.
Have your Bible, 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. While you're turning, I want to pray. Father, thankful for the privilege that we can gather together today. And God, we come to the time of the service. God, when your will, and God, your word, and God, your promises are all going to be revealed. And God, I pray, God, if there's someone here today that needs, God, that salvation that will change that troubled soul, God, I pray you help them. Help us all to realize how important it is to love and serve you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he did. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. When we read that passage of Scripture, we got to look a little bit deeper into it, just a little bit. Elijah, wow, what a man of the Lord. Elijah that later on in his life had such power with God. I'm talking about God did something with him that I can thumb through the entire Bible and not find a duplicate. Now, I can't say that for me. Because, you see, if I look at the greatest thing that I've ever been able to accomplish in this world, it'll never make the pages of this book. How about you? The things that you've done in this life, does it make a difference? Does your life make a difference? Well, if you was one of the presidents of our United States, you might have a little memory. They might put it along there and say, oh, yeah, he was a 47th president of the United States. You could remember that, couldn't you? Or you might say, well, you know, I've been a movie star and I've had my light name in lights and I made all kinds of fortunes. My name is famous around the country. You see, there's opportunities for folks. But when we speak about Elijah, Elijah never bragged upon himself. In fact, in this particular passage of Scripture that we read, God placed him somewhere. God told him to hide. You know, I look in the cave when somebody went into the cave and said, Lord, I'm the only one. You know, I'm in that cave and man, God's not in the fire. God's in that still small voice. But he was in the cave, wasn't he? God didn't tell him to go hide, did he? But in this passage, he told him to go hide. In this passage, he takes that great man Elijah and he feeds him by birds, ravens, big birds, bread and flesh twice a day. And he drank from the brook Cherith. That's what he did every single day. And in fact, the Scripture says he did it for a while. It doesn't name the days. Doesn't name anything else about it. Says he ate bread and fish in the morning, or bread and flesh, and drank from the brook. It would be easy for a man like Elijah to stay right there because God told him to stay. Me and you in our life, there's a lot of opportunities for God to tell us and place us and put us in the right spot. The Bible tells us that our steps are ordered by the Lord. There are times when the Bible is leading us in a path, a direction, and He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe in the leadership of God. In fact, I believe that God leads me and He will lead you every step of the journey. I don't believe there's a day that I can go without God leading me. I really, really depend upon His leadership because I want to tell you, I've made a mess of my life and I'm glad to let Him lead my life than me leading my life. When Elijah was placed in that position, Elijah could have stayed right there because he told the king there. He told, Ahab, he said, listen, because of what's going on, it ain't going to rain. You're going to see who's in charge. And it would have been very easy for Elijah to stay right there and him be content. You know, it's hard to be content. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to say, what's God doing with my life? It's hard to say, well, does God really know what's best for me? Friend, I believe God can answer all those things, and God knows exactly what was best for Elijah. Elijah. In fact, God knew what was best for him. And the Scripture says, and the brook
dried up. The brook dried up. God never said nothing. God didn't come all of a sudden right on the scene and begin to say, all of a sudden the brook began to dry. Now anybody with common sense of type thinking, you would think, well, what's going on with the water supply? You remember the scripture said because there was a drought in the land, the water began to dry up. Because there was a drought. It was happening. It was happening right. Oh, Lord. Ain't that the way we would do things? Ain't that the way we would live our life? Worry and fret. The Bible says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? But we worry, don't we? We think we got to be in charge. We think we got to control it. But the Lord was in moving Elijah. Now, what did he have to do to move Elijah? You know, it'd be very easy for the Lord to come on the scene and say, Elijah, let's go. He didn't have to dry up the brook. He didn't have to let the ravens not skip a meal because the scripture said it was twice a day. It would have been very easy for God to come on the scene and say, Elijah, you're going. But God works in ways for us to know that it's God. God works in ways that we know that it's God. That we understand that God has best intentions for us. Friend, God works together, not just a little things. God works together all things. Every kind of piece of the puzzle fits firmly together. It fits just like God knows how to put the puzzles together. And God knows how to put your life together. But God had to get Elijah from here to one day riding in a chariot. But from getting from here to riding in a chariot to go home, there had to be some examples. There had to be something to change in his life. And I really believe that God had to make Elijah stronger in faith and in trust. You see, I can tell you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I can sit and read this Bible day in and day out, and I'm telling you, I will get stronger and stronger and stronger in the ability to read the Bible, in the ability to be able to quote scripture, to be able to find something in the Bible. Man, I can get really powerful in the word. But you know, there's more about living a Christian life than reading your Bible. And I got news for you. There's more about being a Christian than praying. Boy, howdy. Where in the world is Elijah right now? God moved Elijah from a perfect spot that he put him. He was not found by the enemy. He was not in a situation where he had to fret at night. In fact, I believe all he had to do was just sit there and eat and drink. And in our lifestyle, ain't that the way the New Testament tells us, man, we eat, drink, and be merry, and we think, well, we're just going to be happy. But you're not going to be really happy unless you're following the direction God's commanding you. Everything that God did with Elijah was Elijah by faith and Elijah by trust. If God provides you the roof over your head, we ought to be thankful. If God provides you the car that you drove up here in, you ought to be thankful. But you ought to be thankful for the smaller things of life. And those smaller things is when he drank from the brook and then he noticed the brook dried up. Now, for that brook to dry up, that means he had to stay that there to the very end. The very end. If there was a gallon of water in the brook, he was still right there because the scripture said the brook dried up. When he stayed there, he never said, Lord, what am I going to do next? He never said, Lord, are you sure you want me here? All of a sudden, God made it clear that he had to move him from one step to another step. And the only way you'll do that is by faith. But you learn to trust God with the very things that make you be alive. We think food and water is very important. We think a roof over our head, we think it's very important. Military days, we like to go back to them every now and then. I was thinking one time years ago when they put you in training, they learned you sleep in a tent. They only give you half a tent. Your partner that you'll team up with, he's got the other half. You know, that was the only time I ever slept in a tent in the military in those years that I was in. You know, the rest of the time where we slept? Well, you know, when we'd go out in the field, you sleep under the stars, you sleep in a truck, or you sleep under a truck. Never slept in one of them tents again. Why? Them was the craziest things for a tent you ever seen in your life. But it provided you shelter. You see, sometimes you don't know how to be thankful for a roof over your head. But watch. When God strengthened Elijah, he thought it was all about what in the world is going on. But every step that he headed to a different land, a different place, he didn't know what God was doing. He was being shown, though, when the brook dried up and the ravens didn't come. Sometimes we need to see others instead of looking at ourselves. Don't you know that when the old king there, he had said there's going to be a famine. There's going to be a famine. It's not going to rain. It's not going to be any dew on the ground. There were people that were going to be suffering all around Elijah. All around. And in our lives, there can be suffering all around us, but the blessings of God can still flow to our own personal life. You can learn to enjoy the blessings of God while others are suffering. You know how hard that is to accept? We think God is good to everybody. We think nobody's hungry. Nobody's don't have a roof to sleep on. We think everybody's just like a man. We look here. We dress decent to come to church. We drive in good cars to come to church. We sleep in a good house. We have all the blessing. But there's other people in this world that are suffering because of the pronouncement that God had made. It's not going to rain. Sometimes we've got to see others to see how we are blessed. Well, sometimes we just close a deaf ear. We're like a mule with blinders on. We're not looking to the left or right. We're looking only at us. Sometimes God has to teach us to trust Him, and sometimes God teaches us to look at others, to see their condition, to see where they're being, to see what they're doing, to see how in life. There is sin running rampant all over this world. And if we're not careful, we're not looking at what God is trying to show us, to let us see. The next thing, when Elijah went to the next town, he met a woman there. A widow woman. Remember the story. Gathering sticks to make her last meal. And the story that Elijah said, if you will provide for me a cake first, God will then take care of you. Now, what in this world could Elijah be doing? Is he selfish? Is he thinking that I am important? There are a lot of folks that are Christians today that think they are somebody. Now, listen to me. Wouldn't you think in heaven that we'll have a list of good folks like Elijah, and man, he's going to have a seat way up there high, and I'm going to be way down low. Because remember, look what he accomplished and look what I've accomplished. Oh, better yet, that song years ago, "Build My Mansion Next Door to Jesus." I'm going to be so far away, I'm going to have binoculars to figure out where the throne is. God never said none of that stuff. Actually, when Elijah was asking the woman to make it a cake first, was not for Elijah's benefit. It was for the woman's benefit. Sometimes in life, we think we're center of attention. In reality, we're giving a choice to somebody else what they need to do. You see, to come to Jesus, to know Him in the free pardon of sin, is going to require you to confess your sins to God. Oh, man, if I was going to confess my sins, we'd be there all day long. But the reality of it is, God knows everything I've ever done wrong. And when it comes to that kind of confession, you bring yourself to God and you presenting yourself to God, would you provide for me a cake first? And that little simple thing of saying, I'll do it. Scripturally, she went and made him a cake first. And the meal barrel and the oil never ceased until the drought was over. You see, we only think the drought problems were where we was by the brook, but the drought problems lasted in that whole area, in that whole region. There was people that Elijah didn't even know was suffering. But God knew. God knew when the brook dried up where He was going to send him next. God moved Elijah. And when God moves you, hey, that doesn't mean, well, I've got to pick up stakes and I'm moving my home. Oh, I got to pick up stakes and move this or that. That's not what God's trying. God wants you to be willing to move to the location that He has for you to be the very next day. And the very next day. Following His will. Listen, come unto me, all ye that labor. Man, we think work is the way to get it done. Come unto me, all ye that labor. What does He say next? He'll provide you with rest. What does it mean when God puts you out on a journey and He sends you to people you don't even know? He sends you to somebody you don't know if they're going to do what you want them to do or not, because there was no guarantee. There was no guarantee that that woman would have fed him first. She had a plan made up. Eat that last meal. Her and her son was going to die. How many of us plans would change because somebody like Elijah asked you to do it? God moves me and you. For a reason. It was why Jonah one day, when he went away from God instead of going toward God, it was for a reason that Jonah got into that boat and got down into the bottom of that boat and slept. There was a reason. And that reason And I'll tell you that reason it's like for us today. Well, sometimes we think God's just moving us for no apparent reason at all. But whenever he was woken by the ship captain, you remember that story? When he woke him up there and said, listen, you better pray to your God. We're going to pray to our God. We got a storm. We don't know what's going on. And and Jonah, you know what he said? In my words, I'm the reason why this is going on. God is wanting to move you into a place where you can be used. Not just to move you. Hey, it would have been very easy for Elijah to stay right there by the brook. It would have been very easy for God to make that brook not dry up. It had been very easy. Them birds didn't have no problem stealing bread and flesh from wherever they stole it from. Because I could say them getting flesh, but how in the world did they get bread? I ain't figured that one out. That meant they went and visited around until they found bread and flesh, and that's where they come. It's like this. God's a-looking if you're willing to follow. God's looking at you. When sometimes it seems like there's others that God's pointing us for us to look at. And it's not all about me. Let me end it with this. I want to share with this. When we look at the superstars in the Bible, boy, Elijah would be one of them, wouldn't he? When we look at those superstars, Elijah toward the chariot time of his life, said to a little feller named Elisha, I'm fixing to be leaving. I'm fixing to go. Well, that little feller, he said, well, now Elijah, is it possible that I could have what you got? He really didn't say it that way. He said, I'd like to have double of what you got. Now, see, if I got a car and I'm fixing to die, it would be very easy to say, hey, preacher, can you do me a favor? When you die, you won't need that car no more. Would you just let me have your car? That ain't the way it worked. He wanted two. Double. Give me double, not a possessions, of what you got. You see, it's a lot easier for us to eyeball what we see. But friend, whenever you start to see spiritually, you'll want double of what you see in somebody else. There's a lot of good Christian folks left in this world. If we could see what God is doing in their life, guess what God will do in our life. It's not about the big I in heaven. It's not about whose house is closest to Jesus. It's not about none of that stuff. It's about what God wants us to do with our life. And if God moves me, He moves me for a reason. And He'll move you for a reason. Not too long ago, there was we got word that a person had got saved, and they were way on up there in age, older than me, and got word that they had got saved. You know how rare that is for somebody elderly to get saved? You know why? Because the majority of the time, they begin to look at themselves and say, I'm all right. But God is the one that examines the heart. And if He examines the heart and you're not all right, guess what? He's sending a message to you. With Elijah, I'm moving you. I put you here. I'm going to move you here. And friend, that's what he'll do in your life. If God puts you here, he'll move you here for a reason. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Because if you hadn't, you probably depended on yourself to lead you. When I go back in the military days, where you went next was on a piece of paper in that day. I don't have to do it now. On that piece of paper, it said, you will report to so-and-so location on so-and-so date. It didn't give me an option to say, no, don't want to do it. In fact, it was considered an order, and I'd learned before that, oh Lord, I'm supposed to obey all orders. Man, I just won't go. Boy, what I suffered. I just listened to what it said, and I went right where I was supposed to go. You can take your life, and say, I'll do what I want to do. You'll suffer the consequences. But if you'll follow the directions that God gives you, your steps shall be ordered by Him. And salvation will be knocking at your heart's door first thing. Because there's more important things in life, but none as important as salvation. And your life will never be changed as long as God doesn't move you. God can and will and wants to come to know Him in the free pardon scene. Brother Greg, a song. I don't know much, but one thing that I do know very well is learning to listen to God. Now, I've listened to myself and got myself in so much trouble. I've listened to myself when thinking all along that might be the best move. But you know the best move is when you're listening to the leadership of God, no matter what He says, and be willing to take that step. God moved Elijah from a good spot to a better spot. And God will move you from the life of sin to a better spot. There's no place in the world like heaven. There's no better people like folks that are in heaven. And none of them are there because of their goodness. Every one of them there are going to be there because of Jesus. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, knowing that man would sin, and the only antidote for sin is that salvation that was provided on Calvary's cross. And if you're here today, God wants to move you. If you're lost, He wants you saved. But you'll never get saved unless you ask Christ in your heart. You'll never get saved by joining a church, by being baptized. You'll get saved by asking Christ in your heart. Let's stand to our feet. God's speaking to you. You need to come and pray. I'll pray with you. You won't be alone. You come.